Welcome to Crab Takes and Football. That's what this podcast does. I am TK, joined by Andrew Holly. At long last, we are back. Holly, wide-ranging question over the span of several months here.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'll tell you what. I mean, good, man. I get a new dog. You get a kid, and the podcast goes to hell. But, you know, things happen. Things happen in life. And, you know, and we're look at this. We're a week away from NFL Christmas.
NFL Christmas is, man, of course, Holly's talking about the NFL draft. We both love the draft. With the draft approaching, as Holly mentioned, a lot of life changes in the past several months for us. But, you know, we do this annual mock draft episode where we go through live as we're recording, and we go through a draft online, and we see what are the Ravens' needs, who are the guys that we think may be available, who are the guys that we may think they target. But before we get into that, because it's been a lot of time since our last recording, just want to go over some of the big news items from an extremely high level. The most recent and the biggest piece of news, the Ravens bring in Odell Beckham Jr. Obviously, probably one of the biggest free agent acquisitions at the wide receiver position that the Ravens have ever made.
I mean, really ever.
Yeah.
I mean, really, as far as high profile name guy,
right.
You know, I mean,
right.
Shannon Sharp, you know, I mean, let's talk about guys that they've brought in. Obviously, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, you know, but as far as offensive players, you know, coming to the Ravens to make an impact, I mean, I don't know if it gets bigger than OBJ.
Yeah. How scared were you that I was going to say Nelson Agholor?
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, right. Thankfully. Let's face it, two or three weeks ago, that would have been our big addition at this point. So I'm glad we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. at this point.
Yeah, well. Right. So, we did also add Nelson Agholor and
Tariq Black. Let's not. And I mean, that really most, is the latest re-signing. I mean, if we're going to be real about it.
Mm-hmm. So it's been 1 week since the OBJ signing. It's been 1 day since the Tariq Black signing.
Yes.
Yeah, we brought in Nelson.
I mean, totally reinventing our wide receiver core. I mean, Todd Monken comes in and we have a whole new offense, man.
All of a sudden, you know, we bring back Justice Hill, one of your favorite players on the Ravens.
Oh, greatest player ever.
Yeah.
If only we could find Chris Moore again. Is he out on the street? We'll have to look that up. Next podcast.
Dude, Chris Moore actually ended up having a really pretty decent season for the Texans.
I don't want to hear about it. If the end around was not used, he did not have a good season. I can't believe
Let's
that.
See. He had 52 catches for almost 600 yards.
How many rushes?
Which is, let me see, stats. How many rushes? He had 3 attempts for 3 yards.
Oh.
His long carry was also 3 yards.
Oh, well, that's pretty bad.
which is very strange.
Well, but, let's face it. To be honest with you, I mean, hyperbole aside, he's running the end around as well as he ever did for us. So that's good.
Oh, absolutely. He's looking good. Other big news around the Ravens, traded safety Chuck Clark to the Jets for an undisclosed draft pick. I don't know if that's been disclosed yet, but you bring back Geno Stone. You bring back I'm sorry. We lose Calais Campbell, which I just told you was my biggest regret of this offseason so far. I love Calais Campbell. It'll be really difficult to see him on that Falcons defensive line.
He brought a lot to the team, let's face it. I mean, his leadership was pretty great. But on a lot of levels, on the defensive side of the ball, it's time for these young guys to step up. David Ajabo, Adafe Owe, you know, Matabike, Washington, some of these younger, you know, defensive linemen, outside linebackers. Thank you. You know, they've got to start performing. It needs to be their team.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I guess we're what, 5 minutes into recording and we haven't said Lamar Jackson yet.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I think at this point, as things stand right now, if you take the approach that you start with the approach, Lamar Jackson's not going to be on this team. But there's still a pretty decent shot that this is a competitive team because of this defense. And the guys that you just mentioned are going to be a huge part of that. Obviously, you bring back Roquan Smith. That happened during the season last year. And it gets back to that old formula of, you know, those Ray Lewis defenses, hold them to 10 points score 10 points. And we got it. You know, maybe not that drastic, but at this point, if you assume Lamar's not on the roster, it's going to be a defensive-led team. If you think that Lamar is coming back and all of a sudden you're looking at Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Odell Beckham Jr., maybe Rashad Bateman's healthy, maybe you add DeAndre Hopkins to the mix, and of course, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. All of a sudden, it's looking like quite a bit of weapons and potentially a formidable offense as well. So if things fall a certain way, then you're looking at where are the holes on this team. If things fall another way, you're like, how is this team ever going to score points? So, I'll let you touch on the Lamar thing and maybe we'll get to the DeAndre Hopkins thing, which is at this point just swirling rumors. But people are getting excited about that. But, quarterback is still a huge kind of question mark. He has the non-exclusive tag. He hasn't signed it yet. Nobody else has offered him a deal, which is kind of weird to me. I don't know. What's going on here?
I don't know, man. I mean, in one respect, as a Ravens fan, I think we're almost sitting here and you're watching your parents and you're wondering if they're going to get a divorce, you know, and you're happy to see that, you know, your mom is, you know, maybe making good financial moves, you know, but, you know, your dad's making some decisions that are a little wacky and, you know, you're shaking your head at him and you're just really not sure about the whole situation. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, it's almost like what we're dealing with right now, because you're not happy about any of it. You know, at least the Ravens are seemingly, you know, I mean, look, where the Ravens maybe did not do the right thing with Lamar was a couple years ago. I don't think they ever could have signed him to an extension because Lamar's his agent. The issue is we never got him the pieces we needed to contend in his rookie contract. At this point, now we're trying to save face with Odell Beckham and this DeAndre Hopkins nonsense, potentially, which I'm all for getting Lamar weapons, but I also don't want to completely mortgage our future cap and end up having to cut everybody all the time or not have a defense because we wanted to have DeAndre Hopkins and OBJ for Lamar, who is just questionable at best right now with the decision. So anyway, I guess I'm a little all over the place. So rein me in here, TK.
Yeah, I'm a little all over the place too. And I want to pose this question to you. Like, would you take what the Rams have gone through, because you get the ring, right? Which is awesome.
Obviously. Well, let's face
that's
it,
like
we
the
did
highest
that.
Goal.
I mean, the Ravens did that. I mean, would I trade either one of our Super Bowls? I mean, because that's kind of what happened to us in one way, shape, or form. It was a little bit different after the second one because it was more about, guys that, you know, Ray and some of the guys were just older at that point. You know, Ed Reed, you know, it was just time to transition over. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there were still some, you know, getting rid of Bolden was that, well, that was the cap move. That was the cap thing where you're going, well, this sucks. You know, trading Haloti Ngata when we had to and all that stuff, you know, and you, that's what you're setting yourself up for. You're setting yourself up for, you know, what if we hadn't won the Super Bowl in 2000 and we ended up having to gut that team? That would have sucked. Now, granted, some of what we did to kill the cap happened because of what we did after the Super Bowl, trying to sign Elvis Kerr back, this, that, and the other. But, you know, I don't, as much as you can do these void years and all that stuff that we did to get OBJ, I don't like seeing us do that. I'm not saying, I know it's not my money. I'm not, it has nothing to do with what we physically spend on players. It's, I don't want to use future cap and put us in these positions where we have terrible teams. You know, somehow teams are, you know, look at the Patriots, look at you know, I don't know, pick a contender, even the Chiefs at this point. You know, they're able at this point to somehow be consistent contenders. Now, some of that, I think, in the Chiefs case, and actually in New England's case, was they had that huge contract with their quarterback that they could continue to adjust and extend and move and do all that they needed to do to get that cap room. We can't do that because Lamar is I have lost so much respect for Lamar Jackson, and don't get me wrong, I love Lamar Jackson and I want Lamar Jackson to get as much money as he deserves. But what I don't understand here is what the point is he's trying to make. Lamar Jackson is not Kurt Flood. Getting 250 guaranteed in his contract is not somehow some big labor issue that the players are going to go, oh, thank you, Lamar Jackson. We're going to all wear number 8 and remember what he did for us. No, he is wasting everyone's time. He's wasting potential money that he loses every day he does not sign one of these contracts. And quite frankly, he has completely wasted the Ravens offseason being an idiot. Because if he had an agent, he would either have signed with the Ravens, you know, long ago, or he would have been traded like he apparently wants, and the Ravens would maybe have the Colts pick or whatever the case may be, and they'll be able to draft in the top 5. But instead, we're in this weird limbo where this guy, you know, let's not even talk about the stupid gym endorsement thing that happened. That was just like,
I know that's what put you over the edge.
It really is that. I mean, because he's making everyone look like a joke. He's making himself look like a joke. And I don't know what kind of advice he's getting, but it's completely asinine. There's nothing that he saves by, at this point, he's lost more money not having an agent than he would have ever had to pay an agent to get him his contract.
Yeah, I saw a tweet recently that was about comparing.
Was it Ross Tucker's tweet?
I don't know.
It was, he had a tweet a while back, and it was stark. The amount of money, like comparing his contract to Josh Allen. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's certain things that Lamar has done that are head scratchers. To me, it seems as though you know, he's getting some direction from the Players Association. And of course, the Players Association wants more fully guaranteed deals, or at least higher percentages of contracts be guaranteed and things like that. And I just get the sense that they are kind of using him. So, yeah, some things have been, you know, personally weird, a little weird by LeVar. You know, the gym thing was a little strange. You know, tweeting out that he requested a trade right when Harbaugh was taking his interview questions.
That was dirty. That's dirty.
Yeah, there's
and let's face it, maybe he didn't realize. Maybe he didn't realize. Maybe
that's totally coincidental.
But you know what? That's something an agent would have known or been on top of. On top of the fact, let's just set aside the fact that Lamar should have actually been there himself at that meeting. Just like OBJ.
And you know, right, I was just going to say, who was there was OBJ, and he got a contract that is very lucrative.
No, let's face it, no one thought he was going to get from anyone, let alone us.
Right. Right. So a lot of people think he's been overpaid for this, and probably a lot of it's because he was there and did his thing. And yeah. So there's that part of it. I still want Lamar in a Ravens uniform. I still love him. I think he's getting used a little bit. I also have disengaged from a lot of Ravens offseason stuff just because all the conversation about Lamar and this whole contract thing is just exhausting to me. And I think the Ravens front office and Lamar are so tight-lipped, and we were just talking about this right before starting recording. They're so tight-lipped that any like insider information or any rumors or anything like that, like to me, they hold no credence. Because, for example, Lamar requested a trade on March 2nd. He was given the non-exclusive tag on March 7th, and it was not known until he announced it like weeks later. So like insiders didn't know that one of the biggest quarterback stars in the league had requested a trade. And then now you want me to believe like all these guys are talking about specific conversations that people are having with Lamar. Like, no, it just doesn't add up to me. It's so exhausting trying to follow all these rumors and things like that. So I disengaged from it. Plus like having a 2 or 3 month old daughter will do that to you as well. I want him back. I think seeing this Jalen Hurts contract is validating, I think, to the Ravens that they did in fact offer him a fair contract. And that Jalen Hurts signed it. And he's not really taking the lead from Lamar. He's kind of taking the more typical kind of quarterback deal.
That to me tells me a lot.
Same.
That any of these young quarterbacks, especially the guy that just led his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Granted, they didn't win, but he still led his team to the Super Bowl.
He got more playoff wins in one postseason than Lamar has.
Yeah. And let's face it, I know Lamar had his MVP season. But overall, Hurts may have had a better – I mean, I haven't looked at the stats. I know Lamar had a fantastic year in 2019. I'm trying to downgrade that. But considering the offensive weapons around Hurts, you could probably say he was better in some respects. I don't know, man. I would love to say that somehow is going to move the needle. But I almost feel
I would love to say that too. I think, you know, getting that non-exclusive tag and no offers have been publicized from other teams and like other teams like immediately dropped out. That was kind of weird. But now it's been a while and there have been no offers to Lamar that have been publicized, which is also kind of weird. Like maybe teams are just waiting until after the draft to force the Ravens' hand.
Or they just, nobody wants him, which I don't get. I don't get. Yeah, I mean, to me, I look at it this way. So, and maybe we can start moving into some draft conversation with this. But, you know, there have been some recent rumblings, for example, that the Texans may not
draft. Can I just jump in really quick?
Go ahead.
So Holly made a Kurt Flood reference earlier. For those who don't know, Kurt Flood was an old Major League Baseball player for the Reds, I think. The Cardinals. Okay. And he basically had a court case that invented free agency. So, thank you. He's a pioneer for sports.
For lack of a longer description, he sacrificed his career to the ensuing court case helped establish free agency for Major League Baseball players and really all of sports. I mean, before then, guys were basically property of a team until they got traded. And no matter what they wanted to do, they were stuck with that team. So if a guy wasn't playing and was stuck at AAA, he had no way to leave and go to another team unless he was traded. So that was a way for them to leave and get better contracts and all that stuff. So thank you. Good.
Right. Talk. So, and Holly's point is that this is not what Lamar is doing. So,
yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to,
but some of what Lamar has also stated is like, this is for the future. And that just does not ring. That rings very hollow for me. Personally, I think it's a bit ridiculous. You're ruining your own career for what? You know, this really isn't going to move the needle that much. Especially when you see somebody like, some of these younger quarterbacks signing contracts now. You know, it's just,
yeah, it's I don't know. As long as it's millionaires against 32 billionaires, and it's not in the CBA, it's not gonna. There's not much that's gonna happen here.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, so let's move on to draft stuff. We got into draft stuff. We're like,
but it's still Lamar talk. I mean, it's still Lamar talk. But we were talking about, you know, interest of other teams in Lamar and blah blah blah. Well, you know, in the last couple of days, you know, it's come out that maybe the Texans aren't real high on some of the quarterbacks. So they may end up probably taking a defensive player instead of one of the quarterbacks. Now, okay, that's when you go, they need a quarterback. They've got cap room. You know, for example, one of the reasons I don't think they like C.J. Stroud is he has the same agent that Deshaun Watson had. So there's obviously some acrimony there. Now, I don't know that working with Lamar is going to be any better of a working relationship. But that said, I mean, let's face it. You get a defensive team. You know, you've got this defensive coach coming in. They've got an offensive coordinator who used to be with the 49ers, I think, if I'm correct with that. I mean, I don't know, man. It would seem like you get a guy like Lamar in there and it would work. I would love to see that. I mean, and personally, I'm at the point where I would trade Lamar straight up for a first round pick, especially if it was, you know, we could pick C.J. Stroud with that pick. I would do that. Quite frankly, I might do the 12th pick. At this point, I am. I'm out at this point. Now, I think any of that stuff is going to happen? No. I think the draft is going to end. We are going to have Lamar Jackson, and hopefully we sign him long term. I mean, I would love to see that. Don't get me wrong. This isn't me saying I never want to see Lamar Jackson play for the Ravens anymore. But I'm at the point where I think it might be better off for the Ravens to cut their ties, cut their losses, and figure something out. The rest of the team is too good at this point to waste it on a guy that doesn't want to be here.
Yeah. Man, I think to me, what ends up happening is he plays on that franchise tag this year. And then maybe he does it again and sees what Herbert and Burrow sign. And then you see what happens. I think the Ravens have to go into this.
But the thing is, do you give Lamar more money than Joe Burrow? No, I don't. At this point, I don't know that I give him more money than Justin Herbert. I mean, the thing is, I don't look at Lamar at this point as the best quarterback in the NFL. I wish I did. So Lamar better get on the train or he's going to be left behind. That's my opinion. Because the more these other guys sign, he's not going to set the market anymore. His time to set the market is either now or it has passed.
I think the other interesting thing is that he's missed quite a bit of time the past 2 years as well.
Now, the thing is, though, it's weird. It doesn't help. It's weird time because he misses these games every year because he's sick. You know, and I say that mostly because I'm still pissed he never got vaccinated. And that's another thing you look at and you go, okay, here are these decisions of this guy you want to give hundreds of million dollars to guaranteed to lead your football team, and he won't even get freaking vaccinated so he can be on the field and not be sick. So you've got that. You've got, you know, how many games has he missed from, you know, the flu or whatever, even beyond COVID? A couple, one or two. So, you know, you add that into this past season where he gets hurt in the pocket, you know, or he gets concussed. You know, I think he's been concussed before. Am I wrong?
No, he has been. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't think, you know, the hurt thing is definitely, it's there. It's real, but it's not. It's not like he is injury prone. Like, I would look at a guy like, I'm trying to think of a good person to think of. Like, I don't look at Lamar as a China doll, you know, that's just going to get Taylor broken. Yes, thank you. You know, but at the same time, you have to acknowledge the fact that here's a guy who hasn't been on the field.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, he hasn't been on the field.
Yeah. It's such a strange situation. I don't know, and this is kind of another reason why I've disengaged from it. It's just like, nobody knows anything. I don't know anything. What am I going to get out of, you know, staying up at night and thinking about it? But what I was going to say, as we shift into our NFL Christmas here, is that I think we should approach this draft as though Lamar will be on the roster because of that franchise tag. I'm not sure at this point, like you were saying, are teams willing to give up whatever the compensatory package is for the non-exclusive deal? Are teams willing to give that up right now for all the reasons that you may have gone through? If I'm the Colts and I'm sitting at pick four, I would be so confused, because depending on how that number three pick goes, you really have no clue, because like, they could be sitting there with Anthony Richardson in their lap and with the opportunity to draft him with like super high ceiling, maybe like a middling floor, and like he could be awesome, but then you could be sitting looking at a defensive lineman and like, well, I don't know. And then you're looking at Will Levis as your top quarterback. So I don't know. I don't know what the Colts are thinking right now. I haven't been, you know, as removed as I've been from the Ravens offseason. Definitely not close to the Colts offseason and what they're thinking. But they're in such a tough spot exactly for the same reason too. So let's get into some draft talk. Let's maybe start really quick with a couple of Ravens needs. Like I was saying before, if chips fall a certain way, there aren't that many, but there are still some things that you may want to reassure. So Holly, where do you see some of these potential areas for improvement or holes on the Ravens roster?
Yeah, well, as you said, I think we have to, at least for mock purposes at this point, go into this. Everything's hunky-dory with Lamar. He's going to play. You know, we're not going to do any.
Hunky-dory enough.
Oh, yeah, hunky-dory enough that he's going to come in and play. We're not going to create some stupid trade scenario that includes Lamar. Now, with that said, if Lamar's our quarterback, we obviously – in my opinion, we have two areas of need. One has been lessened with the addition of OBJ. However, I still believe wide receiver is in need, depending on who would be there. Secondarily, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, would be cornerback. Nice. You know, we gotta get a corner. In my opinion, that is probably where I would tend to go, depending on who is available. If either Porter or Deontay Banks from Maryland is available at 22, that is probably who I go with. That said, they may not be there. There tends to be a lot of buzz around those two players right now. This is a corner-heavy draft. We may find ourselves in the scenario where we might have to take another player. In that case, I think it's wide receiver. Now, other positions of need, you know, at some point, defensive line would be smart. You mentioned Calais Campbell.
Yep.
You know, offensive guard would be smart. Interior offensive line with Powers moving on to the Broncos would be smart. You know, and then really mix it in from there. Running back, quarterback, obviously Lamar or not. I think finding another player who might be a backup. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of profile they go with, because it, you know, this offense may not be that Greg Roman, you know, everyone needs to be exactly like Lamar situation. Now, it makes sense for us to not, you know, to have an offense that we can play with both quarterbacks. But that said, that offense is going to differ from what we've seen. So whether it's Stetson Bennett or somebody else, you know, seeing who we might draft in later rounds at the quarterback position could be interesting.
I think you nailed it. Those are the exact positions I was thinking. The OBJ and Nelson Agholor signings do not stop the Ravens from drafting a wide receiver in the first round, especially, man, looks like the guy that I'm interested in has already been taken in your thing here. Why don't you just hit a quick refresh on this? And we'll see how it goes. I would love a really athletic defensive lineman. I would love a big physical corner. Even if it's kind of like a project, I don't know if you're going to get a plug and play kind of corner if you don't take them in the first round, you know?
Yeah.
So, and.
Well, and let's face it, look at wide receiver. I mean, if, as much as I think this DeAndre Hopkins stuff is dumb and not really something that's real, we can probably get another wide receiver. You know, there are ways of adding to that position. You know, if we don't get a starting caliber corner, you're looking at somebody like a Rocky Sin, maybe Marcus Peters, which I think I'd be okay with Marcus Peters coming back. You know, so That's the difference. I think you're looking at a vet versus someone that might be here for several years.
Yep. And the other thing to keep in mind, I think our mock draft simulator here does propose some trades to us, which is a little bit new for the podcast. I don't think we've done trades in the past. But Eric DaCosta has noted that he does want more picks. So you always got to consider a trade down. You have to, I think the Ravens only have, what, 5 selections?
Down is probably what's going to happen. I mean, or do we pick at 22? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'd be shocked if we traded up unless it involved Lamar or something like that, or maybe Patrick Queen or Bateman or, you know, some sort of thing we're not expecting. You know, not that I think Bateman should be traded or Queen or any of that.
Right.
Most that's just because weird things can happen on draft day.
Speculation. I would not be surprised if the Ravens trade down. It may even be like a trade into the second round. Knowing how the Ravens operate, the volume of picks in the middle rounds is something that they
especially if there is a run on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, let's say Hendon Hooker is going in the first round.
Right.
They probably trade back. You know,
there's going to be whether
to facilitate a quarterback getting taken or because they know that, okay, someone that we like is going to be there at this point. I see us making a move for sure. It's going to be another first round where we sit through it and then go, why the fuck? Come on. You know, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. So we have this lined up to go all 7 rounds. We are using Pro Football Network, and we're only picking for the Ravens, obviously. So why don't you get this started? I am going to grab myself another beverage. So why don't you talk us through how this first round.
All right. So right now, let's talk through the first round. I'm going to pause it after the first 4 picks. So it is quarterback heavy with the first 3. Not a lot. Well, maybe a little bit of a surprise at 3. But we've got C.J. Stroud and then Bryce Young going to the Texans at 2. Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State, the offensive tackle, gets picked 3 by the Cardinals. And then Anthony Richardson, who some fans may want here in Baltimore if they're able to make some sort of deal with the Colts. He is actually taken by the Colts in this scenario. Let's see. Tyree Wilson now gets picked by the Seahawks. We've got Will Anderson to the Lions at 6, which is kind of a surprise. Will Levis getting taken by the Las Vegas Raiders. Almost said Oakland Raiders. Let's see. Miles Murphy to the Falcons. Broderick Jones to Bears. Christian Gonzalez, the corner out of Oregon, to the Eagles. And then Peter Skoronski, I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong, out of Northwestern, going to the Titans at 11. Any thoughts on any of these picks so far, TK? Anyone you're shocked
Paris
about?
Johnson.
That would be the surprise maybe so far for me. Yeah. Will Anderson, I mean, dude, how awesome
going down to 6
for the Lions, though, for them
for
to have Hutchinson and then Anderson. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome for Detroit.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go here. Carter, so Jalen Carter gets taken 12 to the Texans with their second first-round pick, rather. Let's see. Witherspoon
like is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, taken 14th by the Patriots, and that is really annoying.
And also Devin Witherspoon, the corner out of Illinois, got taken a pick before Smith-Njigba. How do you say your name? Smith-Njigba? Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. You can resume the draft. And while it's going, interestingly enough, Jaxon Smith-Njigba's brother is in, I think he's on the Pirates. He's like a Major League Baseball player.
Which is very cool.
Insane. Yeah. To have family though.
All right. So we have some offers. Let's recap some players that are off the board here that we can't take that we would have probably considered. So the first one is Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC. He gets taken by the Steelers at number 17, which I actually don't think would happen at this point, considering they just traded for what's his nose? Robinson, right?
Allen Robinson.
Allen. Yep. No, yeah, Allen Robinson. Thank you.
Yep.
Then Bijan Robinson, which I don't think is someone that we would probably draft, but you know, we have been connected to him a little bit. Running back out of Texas, he's taken by the Bucks. And then two players that I know we have both probably read a good bit about. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU, taken 20th by the Seahawks. And then our local boy, Deontay Banks, the corner, taken off the board, the pick before the Ravens to the Chargers. People in that Ravens draft room had to be not happy. Now, the simulator
interesting.
Go ahead.
So pick 20, Johnston to the Seahawks means they pair up him with DK Metcalf, which is insane. And then 21, Deontay Banks to the Chargers means him and JC Jackson to Maryland corners.
That's right.
In LA. That's pretty cool. All right. So we have a couple trade offers on the table at 22.
So I'm going to let you look up the – do you have the pick values here? I don't have any of that, but we have a wild card offer, let's see, from the Patriots here. And then a offer from the Vikings and then an offer from Detroit. The Detroit one's kind of interesting. Now, let's look here at the Patriots offer. So for our first round pick, 22 overall – they're offering us pick number 46. Do you know where that is in the round here?
Yeah, that's like in the middle of the second round.
So middle of the second round, number 46. Then pick number 76 would be in the third round.
Essentially the middle of the third round.
And then we've got a 2024 second round pick.
Generally have been just like ignoring trades with future draft picks because I don't know how to value them.
Yeah, that I don't really understand how to value. And then we also have Rashawn Stevenson, right? Is that his
Ramondre,
name?
Ramondre, my guy.
Ramondre Stevenson.
I remember when Ramondre Stevenson was in the draft and we did this exact episode, I looked up his NFL comparison and it was Gus Edwards.
Wow. So, I mean, this is actually kind of an interesting trade, kind of. But, I mean, we're going to reject this because it's got a future pick and for our purpose.
We're not going to remember that second rounder next year when we record this episode.
Exactly. Now, the Vikings have offered us a deal. I'm not really all that intrigued by it personally. Dropping back to 23 and getting pick number 211. Where does 211 fall? Is that like the sixth round?
211 is a late sixth rounder. Yeah.
Okay. So is it okay to reject that? Are you looking for a sixth round pick or should we consider this?
I don't know. I have, you know, that JJ points, like Jimmy Johnson. I have that up. The numbers don't add up for that one.
No. Okay. Now, this is an this is one I'd like to see the points. I'm still going to reject it because it has a 2024 second round pick included. But it would be pick 48 and pick 55 and then that second rounder for pick 22. How does that fall within the points? Because I think that's actually not terrible.
Yeah, that's actually pretty close. So this chart has the Ravens pick with 780 points. 48 has 420. And 55 has 350. So you're looking at 770. And then plus that second round pick.
I'd probably do that deal.
Likely some good value. That's moving pretty deep into the second round. But the Ravens don't have that second round pick. So
I would consider that. I would at least counter if this was real world. But again, because this is future picks and everything else, we're going to reject that. All right. So here we are. We're ready to pick now at 22. So let's look at some of the players we have available. Let's look at corner. Oh, look at that. So two players right now that jump off the board. Joey Porter, cornerback from Penn State, and Cam Smith, cornerback from South Carolina. Both players are big-time prospects. Obviously, the Joey Porter pick has all sorts of intrigue and drama, considering Joey Porter was one of, I don't know about you, he was one of my most hated Steelers ever. I still blame him for that Todd Heap. Oh, when Todd Heap was hurt and he pushed him over and didn't get a penalty and up. I still can't believe that. But that said,
however,
would probably be kind of fun. So I don't hold any grudges against his son. Now,
yeah, he is also an excellent player.
So just right, talking corners, are we both in agreement that Joey Porter would be picked over Cam Smith, or do we need to talk about that? I don't know enough.
I like Joey Porter Jr.
Okay, so we're gonna put a pin on that here on the defensive side of the ball. Let's just look at the wide receivers. So here's our choice. So our other wide receiver available now in the rankings here on Pro Football Network, we have Joey Porter, who's rated at 19 overall. So we would be getting a little bit later than he's ranked here at number 22. Now, the other choice, in my opinion, and I think you would agree with, Zay Flowers, the wide receiver from Boston College. He is available. If we want to go wide receiver, he would by far be the wide receiver, in my opinion, that we would pick here. So what do you think we should do, Flowers or Porter?
This kind of makes our draft.
Eesh. Without a second round pick, we have to really hit on the last round if this draft is going to be good. This makes our draft right here.
I really, really, really like Zay Flowers. I think if we're being realistic in how the Ravens operate, the pick would be Joey Porter Jr.
I agree. So I mean, as much as I love Zay Flowers, it's Joey Porter. He's the pick here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and go ahead and make that pick. So Joey Porter has been picked. Let's see.
Welcome to Cam Smith, Baltimore.
Yeah. Welcome
the pick
to
right welcome after.
To, was Cam Smith. Yeah. Yeah. Right pick right after was Cam Smith. Flowers is still available at this point. Going into the round two. So some of the players that came off the board at the end of round two had a couple of tight ends come off the board. Dalton Kincaid, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame, Trenton Simpson, the linebacker from Clemson. Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia, came off to the Saints. And then we had an offensive lineman, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle from Tennessee, coming off the board at the end of round two. All right, so we're going to let this play out for a little bit and see some good players come off the board, because we're about to not pick in round two.
Yeah, this is going to hurt. And this is, I think, the
reason there it is.
Why the Ravens, at 35.
Yeah, and this is probably Flowers why we comes will off trade the back. Board. Zay Flowers comes off the board to the Colts.
That's I think this is the reason why the Ravens want to move down, because there are so many good players available in this.
Emmanuel Forbes, corner off the board now. Yeah. 44
Julius
the Falcons.
Brent's out of K-State.
Another player.
Yeah. There's so many guys in this range. And if they don't love anybody that they're kind of falling to them.
Yeah. All right. So we've gotten through. Gotten through the second round. That's going to be the longest time ever for us watching that on the day of the draft. But we're finally here on round three. Let's make it through. Let things play. You seen anybody come off the board? Hendon Hooker.
A.T. Perry. Guy.
Where did he?
A.T. Perry.
Yep.
Yeah. to the top Bears.
top of the round 3.
Wide receiver
A.T. Perry.
Out of Wake Forest. That's tough. Rashee Rice, I really like too. Basically, just because he absolutely destroyed Maryland this year, Rashee Rice.
Darnell Washington, tight end out of Georgia. Again, not that we need a tight end, but just the fact that he's out of Georgia makes it interesting with Todd Monken being our new offensive coordinator. Hendon Hooker.
Washington is an animal. He is absolutely unreal. He's like another tackle.
So who knows? Maybe we will draft him. But
The new Nick Boyle.
As I mentioned, Hendon Hooker off the board as well. For those thinking about quarterbacks, he goes to the Atlanta Falcons at 75. And here we go. We're about ready to pick now at pick number 86. So we do have a couple trade offers. Let's see. This might be interesting. So we've got an offer from the Vikings. Drop back one pick to pick 87, but then we'll move up from one pick or from pick 199 to pick 158. How does that look to you?
If I'm going strictly off the points, so.
I mean, I might do that.
They gave us what, 158?
Yeah.
So 158 is a mid fifth rounder.
That's for a sixth rounder, right?
So then that means we would have back-to-back picks in the fifth round, 157 and 158.
Just to drop back one spot, I think that's worth it.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Why not? Although, the points, yeah, I guess the points work. Why not? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, accept it. Why not? Go for it. Make things happen.
You could go ahead and go it. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's accept it. All right. Now we've got another trade offer. This one we're not going to do. And that one we won't do that either. Okay. So let's see. So what did we do last time? So we went ahead and we took our cornerback. And now we're ready to make our first non-first round pick. And I have to admit, Henry To'oto'o, or however you say this guy's name, I want to draft him just because. Just because of the name. And he's available to us right at the moment. Let's see. So let's look at wide receivers again. Go over to the offense. Who do we have? So Trey Palmer is the best guy on the board. I'll be honest with you. There's no one here that I'm fully aware of that I'd want to grab. Is there anybody here that you're looking at as far as wide receivers that you think this is someone we should get now?
So Palmer is interesting to me. He's mostly been like a slot guy. He was at LSU for a little bit, and then now he transferred to Nebraska. And I don't know. He's not.
All right, so we'll set that aside for now. Let's set that aside for now. So let's go back over to the defense. Let's see. Defensive tackle. Is there anybody here?
Not at 87, I don't think.
Not at 87. Let's see. Edge player. Zach Harrison from Ohio State would probably be the best guy at the moment. Doesn't jump out at me either. Linebacker, we don't really need linebacker. Let's go to offensive guard. See how we're looking here. So we've got a couple guys again that they really don't fit. When to choose. What do you think of Jalen Duncan, offensive tackle from Maryland? Is he anyone we should be looking at?
So, interestingly enough, Jalen Duncan entered this past season as a potential first round pick. And now we're talking about him maybe in the third round. I think he struggled quite a bit at tackle. especially against some of like the Big Ten pass rushers. I know Iowa had some good pass rushers, Wisconsin, Ohio State, obviously. He struggled. I think he fits at guard. If you want to take a project guard
at 87,
a guy who moves really well. I think he moves well enough for a tackle, but maybe not necessarily like the I don't know. He just seemed overmatched at times. So if that's a guy you want to take at 87, maybe. But
there's nobody so far that I would take a quarterback. Not that I'm.
How do you feel about linebacker in which you have Roquan Smith, but you know down at 87, third round,
you're looking at a contract year
for Patrick Queen, right?
Yeah, I mean I'm okay taking a linebacker here. I don't know that. Do you like Ivan Pace Jr. from Cincinnati? I have no.
He can play. I do.
I mean,
like
we could pick this Henry to
you can take him. That's fine. I like linebacker here just because you don't really know exactly how things are gonna shake out with him, with Queen. I kind of like Sewell as well. So.
Well, who do you like? Do you like Sewell better than To'o?
I do.
I only like him because of his name. I really don't.
I do like him at this spot. He's like a physical kind of linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We'll go ahead and make it happen. So we went ahead and took Sewell with our third round pick. So. All right, let's see where we go here.
It's kind of fallen kind of weird to us.
Yeah, it's a weird draft right now.
So what? We have corner.
So my man didn't get taken till the fourth round, so we probably did the right thing, potentially.
Who's that? I'm sorry?
To'o, how you say his name.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. We're ready to pick now in the fourth round, pick 124. We do have a couple offers here. I guess this is our future sixth if we wanted to try to get another pick 170. I don't know.
No, we can give away a future pick. I didn't.
Do you want to go ahead and accept it?
Sure. Why not? I didn't particularly. It gives us another.
Yeah, exactly.
This gives us something else to talk about.
All right.
God, that's too much math for me to do.
That's three more picks. Yeah.
That's too much math.
Okay. So let's see here. Now we're at pick 126 after trading down. Let's see here. So let's go back to wide receiver.
Let's go back to everybody. See what. Yeah.
Let's go to all real quick. So how's everything falling into place? So we do have another corner, Hodges Tomlinson from TCU. Isn't that not LaDainian Tomlinson's kid? Am I right about that?
Interesting. I don't know. I didn't realize he was at TCU as well.
Am I wrong? It doesn't say anything about him, so maybe... maybe that's not true. For some reason, I felt like LT's kid was playing college football, but we'll let that be. He's small, man. 5'7", 178. Wow.
Yeah, a little bit of different body composition, likely, but that's my size, yeah.
let's see. I mean, there's a guard from Alabama. That would be around the right place to pick.
I'm just trying to read some of the names here.
Bryce Ford Wheaton is a wide receiver that's available at the moment. Kenny McIntosh, running back from Georgia.
Yeah, this is falling very strangely to us. I do like McIntosh.
Well, do we want to pick
and him? considering the Gus Edwards contract situation and the and who knows what's happening with J.K. Dobbins, may not be unwise to take a running back at some point.
All right.
And well, he's familiar with Todd Monken. So
there we go. So we went ahead and took Kenny McIntosh. He seemed to fit best at the moment in the fourth round. So we went and took a running back. Yeah, probably a little bit earlier than I might have thought, but we'll see how it goes.
As we wait for this next pick, which is still coming, we haven't mentioned our new offensive coordinator yet, who is Todd Monken, the Georgia offensive coordinator, who has NFL experience with the Bucks and the Browns. When I think he was the Browns offensive coordinator during Baker Mayfield's best season, and obviously led that Georgia offense that looked unstoppable. But he's seems like a guy that can make things work with the guys he has. It doesn't have to kind of fit his scheme. He like schemes to his players, and I like that quite a lot better than that previous guy.
Let's face it, as long as they don't like have problems getting to the line with any kind of play called that makes sense, I mean, I think we'll be happy. Let's see here. So we've got two back-to-back picks now. We're in the fifth round. Round five, picks 157 and 158. We've also got pick 170 from some of our deft maneuverings here as fake GM. So where would you like to go right now? We haven't hit wide receiver. I don't know that there's a wide receiver that I'm intrigued by for the moment. We've gone cornerback, linebacker, running back. We've got a defensive tackle out there. Go ahead.
One of the guys I saw on the screen here that was drawn to my attention because of another mock draft that I saw is Braden Daniels from Utah. He's a guard/tackle. He's one of these guys that probably needs a little bit more work, but, you know, interior depth, ability to play tackle, I think that's definitely something of value here at 157. I mean, that's and he has a really high RAS, the athletic score. I think the Ravens would be intrigued by somebody with some versatility, with some athleticism at the interior spot.
All right. So we'll go ahead and do that. I like that. We need an offensive lineman. So we'll go ahead and take Braden Daniels. So he covers our interior offensive line. So at this point, we could maybe double up at a position. This is one of our kind of free picks that we've gotten in our wheelings and dealings. So one more
guy here that I see on the screen that I mentioned before we started recording is the guy that's at 161 right there, Colby Wooden. He's a defensive tackle out of Auburn. And I think, as we mentioned before, defensive tackle is a need, but there are some guys there who can play. And you're getting Michael Pierce back, who we forgot to mention earlier. But you have Travis Jones, Justin Madubuike, Broderick Washington, who really kind of came into his own last year and became a really nice contributor. I think at this point in the draft, you kind of look at who are the guys that are available that could become something. And to me, one of those guys is Colby Wooden. He's a defensive tackle out of Auburn, like I mentioned. He has played several positions along the defensive line because he just keeps getting bigger the longer he's been at Auburn. So he's moved from outside to inside. He's an exceptional athlete. I think maybe one of those like big, tall pass rushers, just get his hands up in passing lanes kind of guy. And down at 158, somebody that big, that athletic, is attractive to me in that spot.
And we're going to go ahead and take him. So with that kind of discussion, I'm going to go ahead and say he's our pick. So Wooden is our pick there with our second of two back-to-back picks. And now we're all ready to pick again at pick 170. Again, I believe this is one of the picks yet that we acquired in our wheelings and dealings. So any of the players here jump out at you that are available on our mock draft right now? Or do you want to target any position groups?
Is there a way for us to go back and look at who we have picked so far? Or you just have to scroll all the way up? Okay.
I think we just have to scroll all the way up. There, for some reason, there doesn't appear to be a recap of who you've drafted here, which is slightly annoying.
So, quite obviously, Joey Porter Jr. is the crown jewel of this draft.
Yes.
We're kind of throwing darts at a couple more players.
But so let's see. I mean, is there a wide receiver that we'd like to, you know, throw a dart at? You know, there are a couple of Maryland wide receivers on the board. Raheem Jarrett and Dante Dean. Go ahead.
I love Raheem Jarrett. He has the explosiveness. He has the top end speed. He has reliable hands. I can't really tell exactly why he would be available at this point, to be honest. But since he is, I am interested.
All right. Well, we should go ahead and take him. I mean,
we haven't addressed the wide receiver position yet.
No, exactly. I mean, it's time to take a wide receiver if we're going to take one. And to be honest with you, if the Ravens were going to pick here, I think they'd probably choose him. He's a local guy. They need to get somebody. I'm going to go ahead and make him the pick.
Okay.
So let's see. Raheem Jarrett now is the pick at 170. And now we're moving into round six. Now, I believe we actually no longer have a six-round pick. Let me go back.
I think we traded that one.
Yeah, I think we traded that to move up. So let's see. We may be complete here with our draft, but we'll let this play out.
Man, I'm really excited we got Jarrett. I think Ravens fans would be very happy if that comes true.
Let's see here. So we're just bear with us for a second as we let the remaining picks run out. As I said, I think we're done here, but because we made some wacky trades, I don't know if there was a seventh round pick somehow mixed in somewhere.
We have to wait till next year.
Yeah, exactly. For some of the picks that we traded away. That future draft that somebody's going to have that they, you know, keep trading back, man. They're gonna love that. I don't know why anybody would do that in one of these, but
I don't know.
Okay, so looks like we are done. We're just about finished here. Okay, so here is the draft recap. Here is our full draft. So we ended up taking Joey Porter, cornerback out of Penn State at pick 22. In the first round. Then we took at number 87 in the third round, Noah Sewell, the linebacker out of Oregon. Then at number 126 in the third round, the fourth round, we ended up taking Kenny McIntosh, the running back out of Georgia. And then the first of our three fifth round picks, we got Braden Daniels, the guard from Utah, Colby Wooden, then the defensive tackle from Auburn with the next pick at 158. And then with our last pick in the draft at 170, we took Raheem Jarrett, the wide receiver from Maryland. So an interesting mix of players. I mean, we hit all of those you know, areas of need while also trying to, you know, think about best player available, what the Ravens would probably do. I think we both are pretty happy with the Joey Porter pick. You know, I think Zay Flowers would have been an intriguing pick, but, you know, hey, I don't think either one of us would be upset with Joey Porter being the crown jewel of this draft.
Yeah, I am decently pleased with how this went for us. I think if the first three picks go as they did here, where we go corner, linebacker, running back, Ravens fans would be throwing a fit. I think fans would not be happy with that. However,
I agree.
For the way that it fell for us today, I think, like you said, Porter was the pick there. Sewell and McIntosh, I think things kind of fell a little differently than we had seen in other mock drafts. But of course, you know, we don't get the benefit of just hitting refresh in this nor in real life. But I think 157, 158, and 170, we kind of crushed. I think we get some interior line depth with ability to play tackle with Daniels. I think Colby Wooden, maybe a dart, but like somebody that big and that athletic, maybe you kind of figure out something to do with them, especially with the coaching staff we have with Anthony Weaver and Mike McDonald. And then Rakim Jarrett, if you've been a Maryland fan for the past few seasons, you've seen how electric he can be, what he can do against top-level competition. And yeah, maybe he's a little bit small, but the kid can play. And I think any offense in the NFL would be excited to have him. And if he's available whenever the Ravens are picking in that range, don't be surprised if he's coming to Baltimore. So that maybe I might be more proud of the fifth round than the first three picks.
Yeah, and some of that was our deft wheeling and dealing with all these, you know, simulated teams here on Pro Football Network. So.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, if I can speak. Yeah, I agree with you. I like what we did here. I mean, and some of it makes sense. I mean, Kenny McIntosh is a little surprising, you know, where we took him. Reach. But that said, it makes sense because we took him, you know, he's got, you know, if he's a guy that, you know, Munkin loves, I mean, I have no idea. But I mean, the connection of, you know, running back, best player available, if he's rated higher, you know, especially if he's rated higher internally because of the relationship with Munkin, you know, if he's like a gold star player or whatever we call everybody.
Red star.
Is it red star? Okay, red star player. Anyway, you know, I mean, who knows? You know, he might be a guy because of that relationship that we want to grab. But anyway, I like what we did here. I mean, the focus, like I said, is really going to be that first round pick. I'm surprised we didn't end up taking a quarterback. I feel like we're going to end up in reality taking a quarterback flyer at some point. I think because, you know, that linebacker and running back, you know, pick, I think that kind of screwed that up along with the wide receiver pick. You know, it made it harder to find a guy we wanted, you know, either a wide receiver or quarterback. It's going to be an interesting draft this year. It's a bit anticlimactic, even though we do have a first round pick. I don't know why it feels so anticlimactic. I don't feel like we're going to move up any, you know, we're certainly not going to move up to get what we need, with respect to a quarterback. I guess it's really just the Lamar thing that has me in a funk as far as wondering what, you know, what we're going to do, or not feeling like whoever we add will be impactful. But the reality is, with or without Lamar, this team could be pretty good. It's just a question of how good. You know, if we get Joey Porter and, you know, he's a lockdown corner and you add that to our defense, we're going to be pretty good with well, I don't want to say that. We might be pushing for a playoff spot with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater as our quarterback. I'm not going to say we're pretty good, but we could be pushing for a playoff spot. I'm not sure how good that really is, but it's not. I don't know that our season is completely up down to Lamar, but it is. Does that make sense?
I just totally
waffled.
If you're in the mindset of Super Bowl or bust, then yes, it is dependent on Lamar. If you are interested in a competitive football team, the coaching staff will, and the ownership and the front office will not let this team be bad. We've seen that even in those like 5-11 years with when Ryan Mallett was our starting quarterback, whatever, we beat the Steelers. Like, this is a team that's going to compete regardless. And maybe that's not enough, but it'll at least, we're not tanking for Caleb Williams next year to be our quarterback. That's not the situation that we're in. I think Lamar is our quarterback. I think he comes in. People want to play and you know, be with him. And this ends up being an extremely competitive football team. Is it capable of taking the next step with some new offensive ideas? I do think so. I think some of the pieces that we added in this draft help us with that. And I think I want to disengage from free agency talk again. This has been enough for me this past hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So do you have any plans for the draft itself?
No, not really. I mean, I'm probably going to do what I normally do. Just watch it at home. You know, I don't know. Do you have any plans? Are you going to go crazy with the kid?
Nah, kid falls asleep before the draft even starts. So it's going to be the same routine, or not routine. I'll say it's going to be the same celebration as always. I'm going to order some wings and get some beer and just sit and watch. And that is, and I'll text my friends, I'll check Twitter. And that is honestly the best. And my wife will fall asleep watching the draft next to me. The dog will be curled up with me on the couch, and I could not imagine.
It's going to be a merry Christmas.
Better than that.
It's going to be a merry NFL Christmas.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything better than that. All right. Well, man, it's been months, and I don't think we missed a step. You know, maybe we missed some big news or whatever. I don't really care. But I had fun recording this episode.
Absolutely,
as always.
Man. This is the one of our favorite podcasts of the year, doing the mock draft, and hopefully you guys all liked it too, and we'll try to make this a little bit more regular as we get closer to the season, and then once the season kicks in, we'll get back to some regular podcasting.
Yeah, we will. We'll be back after the draft for sure. We'll be back with OTAs and things like that. We're getting back into it. I am getting more comfortable as a parent, and I think that's been the main thing holding us back. So I'm back in it. Crab Takes and Football is back, baby. So Holly, you want to sign us off, and everybody enjoy the draft.
Well, as TK said, you know, it's been a while, but we'll be back again soon. Get excited for the draft. And remember, let's go Ravens.
Go Ravens.